bride of Christ, to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is your host, Dr. June Knight. I'm so excited to be with you again tonight. Listen, we have been doing this MARC kickoff tour. The show is celebrating all of the staff for the past week, and so we are preparing for the Mississippi Awakening Revival Tour, which will happen, the kickoff will happen November 6th and 7th at PQU, Mississippi, at the World Outreach Revival Center. Now listen, today we are highlighting one of the team members, and that is Mr. Timothy Lovett. How you doing, sir?
Great. Bless you. Yes, great.
Yes, we're so excited to have you. Now, listen, Bride, I'm going to read his bio, and then we'll talk to him to find out what's going on behind the scenes in his life. Okay, Timothy Lovett lives in Winfield, Alabama. He operates in the Prophetic Evangelism Office and Intercessory Prayer. He is known for his love for prayer. He has been ministering since 1999. He was trained in the deliverance ministry for 10 years under the direction of Bill French with Advocate Ministries in Alabama. Mr. Lovett currently travels all over the United States preaching the gospel. He has a heart for the Native American Indians. He has ministered often in those nations. Currently, he ministers in life centers and rehabs. He travels all around the Southeast doing prayer with Pastor Don Stewart. And then the greatest part of Timothy Lovett's preaching is his heart. He is a man full of great conviction of winning souls for the kingdom of God. He has a heart to help the brokenhearted and to show love to the least of these. Amen, sir. It's all about love. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes, now listen, Tim, if you don't mind sharing with the bride, we know there's more to the story of what God did in your life personally to take you from nothing and to make you into something.
I believe it all starts back in 1998 when I was, you know, really down on an alcoholic, you know, gotten a hold of some antidepressant pills. You know, and it really messed me up, and I was thinking about this last night, and it was on my heart again this morning, so I'm going to share it. You know, when I met the Lord, and it's unusual, you know, because you just really don't see this happen a whole lot, but, you know, my life word and my life message is about surrender, and in 1998, when they got me help over in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Advocate Ministries, you know, the Lord moved on me to where I couldn't even hold myself up, and I literally crawled down the aisle to the altar on my hands and knees. It was a very long way, but my mentor there would not let no one touch me.
Oh.
And that's when I had my encounter with Christ, you know, because, like I said, I was literally on my hands and knees crawling and weeping, and I was broken. You know, that night, God began to break me, and begin to break things off of me. You know, I've never been in a rehab or an AA meeting or anything like that. People has asked me, you know, where have you gone to? You know, what kind of help did you receive? Well, the only help that I got was people that were had a lot of compassion to see me free was praying for me.
Yeah.
And God just started delivering me, you know, from the alcoholism, you know, from the drugs, you know, the antidepressant pills, you know, and so have you. And then about my cigarette smoking, there it was again. You know, God delivered me from that in about 45 minutes. You know, and God, I'm just, you know, by no means, you know, I'm nothing without Him. I am nothing without Christ. But God has, you know, in the past 17 years, you know, has done a remarkable, you know, work in me. Mark 5:19 was one of the first words that I actually heard God speak to me. And in Mark 5:19, it says this, go home to see your friends and tell them the works and compassion I've had upon you. And that has actually, you know, and from the 98 all the way up to now, is that scripture is still being fulfilled in my life. I've never, you know, I will never, ever, you know, that scripture is engrafted, like you and I've been talking about, in my heart. You know, it's very, very close to me because of the demonic activity that was going on inside of me, around me, and, you know, God brought me out of that. And he really healed me and delivered me. You know, that's my story there on that. So, but I have many things, you know, when I've encountered Christ, you know, more than once. You know, if I can say, you know, I do love to walk and pray. You know, I love to go to places and be able to hear, you know, and make prayer in places, you know, throughout the nation. I am an intercessor, yes. And God allows me to go into places. And how I knew all of this was it happened in the year 2000 when I went to a deliverance conference out, and Chuck Pierce and Bill Hammond, Cindy Jacobs, Doris Wagner, all was in this conference. Well, before the conference, we got to our hotel room, and I didn't really know what was going on, but I was just being pulled, you know, by Holy Spirit. And my brother-in-law says, well, why don't you walk over to the store and get us some snacks? On my way over to the store, I have this encounter with Christ. And it's almost as if it was, he was walking beside me, and it was as if I could feel his hair. The wind was blowing. I could feel his hair brushing up against my face, and then this arm comes around me. He's on my right side. This arm comes around me, and I begin to pray. And Jesus begins to speak to me as we're walking. I am walking in prayer. And I didn't have to tell anybody that. People seen it. People seen this great light surrounded me as I walked. And ever since then, I have been doing a lot of prayer walks. I mean, it has changed my life. I never knew what prayer walking or interceding was about. But that day, Jesus taught me just in about 2 hours. Because I stayed out in parking lots. I circled around the hotels, and the team that I was with, they were all watching this, and they could see this glow around me. And so for the next 3 days, you know, during the conference, I would walk out into parking lots and begin to pray, and people were following. So there you go.
Well, I tell you what, Tim, one thing that we've noticed on this broadcast, highlighting people's life stories, is that whatever the struggle was in their sin is, in the end, what God turned around to use for His glory. So in your case, you know, with your experience with the drugs or whatnot, the alcohol rather. And then the way that God turned around to where now you're traveling the nation and you're speaking to those people, you know, because you have the heart and the compassion of where they're at. And that's just the beauty of what it is to be a Christian. You know, we give our life away.
Yes.
You know, it's no longer about us and our selfish needs and everything. Amen.
Amen. I, you know, I've had several incidences. You know, I will say this. You know, this is something that we've all been kind of hitting on here lately. But I am watching now, Miss June, when I'm out and being able to minister in these life houses. I mean, there was some saved last night. You know, I was with Brother Casey Sones last night, and you know, Casey got to minister to another while I was ministering to others. You know, they just came, but the one fully surrendered. You know, he went to Casey and he says, "I want to fully surrender my life." And you know, that's what has happened. You know, for me personally, is because I have to truly walk a surrendered life every day. You know, Paul says, "I die daily." You know, one of my other favorite scriptures is Luke 9:23, and it says this: "Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus." Well, I continually have to do that. You know, every day we have a choice. Every morning you wake up, when God opens your eyes in the morning, you have a choice. You either choose sin or God. Sin or God, which one is it going to be? I choose God. I choose God. I choose God. I've been going at this for 24/7, you know, for 17 years. You know, have I failed?
Wow.
Yes, I have failed. But I've never went back. Can you understand what I'm saying? Yes, I have failed as a Christian, but I have never went back to that place of alcoholism, to that place of addictions. I've never went back. And you know, in Hebrews 6, it says, once you have tasted the good gift of God, amen? You know, I believe that is my mission, you know, to be able, you know, for me, you know, personally, be a little selfish here, if that's okay, that we take that heavenly gift of God every day. And, you know, many, many, many thousands upon thousands have tasted it, and they've never went back. And I'm watching a culture right now that is, they get a little taste, or they don't get a taste at all, and they keep going back. They keep going back to the culture, you know, that they were addicted to the worldly system, you know, the godless system that they were adapted to. Can you hear what I'm saying? And it, you know, it's my heart. You know, it's like Paul writes in the scripture, you know, I didn't come to baptize you. I come to help you understand the scripture, or to get understanding of the heart of God. Amen? Because we're living, you know, I'm basically talking from Romans 12:2 right now. But we are, if we don't recognize it, you know, we're living. I'm getting very bold about what I'm about to say. You know, we're living in some dangerous situations. You know, we've got to change. Our belief systems has got to change. We cannot adapt to the culture of the world anymore. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
There's no life in it. You know, my message is, I don't give salvation calls, Miss Jean. I give life and death calls. You know, I mean, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know what I'm saying?
That is
so that's the kind of calls I give. You know, I don't, you know, this world that we're living in, you know, there's a God that lives in this world, and he has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. Or if you are in unbelief, you can be blinded. Amen?
Yeah, exactly what it is, blinded, yeah.
And it's very scary to me. Now, you hear what I'm saying. I shouldn't say very scary, but I am very, very concerned about how the Word of God is being presented today. I'm serious. You know, the Word of God, you know, in Matthew, we talked about this last night. In Matthew, Jesus asks the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priests. He asks them, how is it that you take the commandments of God and turn them into the commandments of man?
Yeah.
That's spooky to me. is it, you know, that the gospel is being preached, you know, that there you don't have to ask for forgiveness of sins no more? That's the doctrines of man. A feel-good message. That is the worldly system. That is a godly system. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Throughout the revivals of Acts, you know, John the Baptist preached the word repentance. The word repentance.
Yes.
You know, I am, you know, if something goes wrong, whether I'm right or wrong, praise God, I'm going to make sure at night that my conscience is clear by doing some repentance. If I've done wrong today, God, if I've said a wrong word, if I've judged wrong, if I've been out of line, if I did not submit to authority, I'm sorry, God, I repent. Correct me. The structure of God to be in my life. Reconstruct me, God. I'm getting way out here.
Listen, Tim, I'm going to kind of shift it a little bit because...
Yes, ma'am.
With you traveling across the United States, and, you know, really, it's kind of like you're in the nitty-gritty of it. I would love to hear your opinion on this. We ask all of our speakers, what if you had a word for the American bride about current-day events, like we just had the shooting of the day, and there we just had the fourth blood moon, all of the intercessors knowing that something great is coming to the world, a big shaking. So what would you say to the bride? What are you hearing in your spirit?
Well, it goes right back to, you know, the surrender thing. I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but this is what's on my heart.
Okay.
You know, surrender your right to be right. I don't know if this is answering your question, but you know, you've heard me, you've been around me, and you know my heart. And there was a couple of questions that's been asked to me, you know, concerning this question that you just asked me, is about how the doctrine is presented. You know, people are asking, you know, once saved, always saved, do you believe in the rapture? Whether you do or not, this is my word, Miss June. Are you ready? Are you ready
Come
to go
on
back?
Now.
I mean, I'm just, you know, I think this answers the last part of your question. Whether it's the blood moons or not, I have no disagreement. And the signs, I really don't. I have no. But this is my answer. You're not guaranteed another breath. James 4:14 says this right here. Life is like a vapor. Job said in Job 7:7, my life is like the wind. It will soon vanish away. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Master? Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. Make room for the Master. That's all I'm concerned about is moving forward.
That's good. You know, you're the first one on the broadcast, the first one, when I've asked that question, that has ever said, are you ready? most of them are like, well, I encourage you to pray. That type of thing. That's the first one that said, are you ready? That is profound. Yes, Lord. I'm like you, though. It doesn't matter to me if he's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. The point is, we all know he's coming. He's coming. So why does it matter when? We got a job to do. We got a harvest to reach out there. Come on now.
Yes, ma'am.
We shouldn't want to be escaped. We should be wanting to get out there and get the harvest. Whatever time we have left, we're going to stand in eternity. And we're going to answer before a holy God saying, what did we do with the time we have left? Is it 5 minutes or 50 years? Who cares? Get out there and get the job done. Amen.
Amen. let me bring up one more scripture, if I may. You can go to, this is another one that I know that the Lord really laid on my heart personally.
Yeah.
I take it personal first before I present it to the church or to the nation or to the sinners. I take the scripture and I put myself to the test first. Amen?
Yeah.
I just don't run and baffle out a word. The first word I hear, I don't run and say, this, I believe this word is for y'all, than when the word is actually for me. You know, there's sometimes you just need to sit down and be quiet.
Yeah.
So, but in Matthew 17:17, this is what concerns me again. And again, everybody has their own beliefs. But personally, this really got a hold of me. And it says this, that Jesus said, you unbelieving, perverse generation. And then he says, how long must I be with you, or how long must I put up with you?
Right.
Now, what that scripture is talking about, when the disciples, listen to this, it's going to get you, couldn't hear the little boy. Jesus says, how long must I be with you? Or how long must I put up with you? That should get somebody thinking right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, if you've got any unbelief, I'm not saying perverse in the scripture has anything to do, and it does have, you know, sexually, but the word of God is being twisted and perverted. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm like, this has to do with my beliefs, corrupt, twisted, perverted, rebellious, unfaithful, and crooked culture. That's what that perverse means. Do you hear what I'm saying? But on the other side, when you listen to those two questions, we have to remember that God still shows mercy, and he still shows judgment. Amen?
Yes, amen. Now, going back to God showing judgment, he is going to judge the bride, but it's only because, you know, what's coming is because he's jealous for us. We have got our hearts. You know, a lot of us have our hearts in the wrong place, and he has to be first. He's a jealous God. And America, you know, we've kind of put other things in front of him, and we'll have to answer for that. But anyways, okay, moving on. Now, listen, we're going to talk about the Mississippi Awakening Revival Tour that you are very much a part of. Tell the bride how it is that you met Casey and how you got involved on this team.
Actually, I met Casey a few months ago. A lot of people think we've known each other for years. You know, but Casey and I, you know, God put Casey and I together over in South Haven, Mississippi at a conference over there. And immediately, you know, we were linked, you know, and we were introduced and, you know, we just started calling from one and found out, you know, we have the same kingdom mindset. We have the same desires, you know, of the places in Mississippi to see the awakening, you know, and it all started, you know, with me actually getting to go on a prayer intercessory prayer with Pastor Don Stewart. He and I used to travel quite frequently, and we still do. We're fixing to get started back up very soon, I think next month. You know, we go into places. But particularly, why Mississippi? I'll tell you why. We were praying down on the Louisiana Purchase Territory one time, and there's a boardwalk that goes all the way out into the swamp, and I never could figure out why Tupelo, Mississippi was always on my mind. And I go over there quite frequently. But as we were walking down that boardwalk, Pastor Don Stewart was walking ahead of me. We were doing some prayer. He was a good distance ahead of me. And all of a sudden, this net falls down on the boardwalk right in front of me. And I pick it up, and I said, Pastor Don, what is this? What just hit in front of my feet? And he looks at me, and I know what I heard. He said, that's a Tupelo nut. And when he said Tupelo nut, it comes off of one of the trees in the swamp. I've never known anybody ever known it, but he, out of his voice, I heard Tupelo. And immediately, I begin to pray for a revival in Tupelo, Mississippi. And that's been several years ago.
Oh, wow. And now,
yeah, and now God just lays these cities of Mississippi on my heart. Now, I'm from Alabama. You know, and it started in Mississippi. It started in Tupelo, Mississippi. You know, I have a heart, you know, to be a forerunner. You know, I don't necessarily have to be in the revival or the awakening. I love to go and help prepare, make way for the Master.
Yeah.
Maranatha. You know, and so that's how it all started with me, you know, actually. And then God just puts, you know, kingdom connections, you know, together thereafter. Amen?
Yes. So you're like me in that you're from a different state. You're not from Mississippi. Actually, Bride, there is four different states of revivalists involved in this mission. And the ones that are out of state all have the same heart in that as we serve Mississippi, God will take care of our people. It's about kingdom. And so that's the greatest revival going on today is the bride waking up to the kingdom. And that it's not about any certain person's mission. It's no longer about one big person. You know, it's about the kingdom, everybody pulling together. And so like he said as well, he's probably not going to be the one preaching. None of us are. But that we don't go there to get a platform. We're coming to throw our support behind those cities, behind those people that God has called in that region. We're just coming in like a team, just, you know, throwing our support behind them and praying for them. Right, Tim?
Amen. Absolutely.
Now, listen, Bride, you can go on our website at www.revivalms.com. Meet all of our team. Every one of the team is being interviewed. You can hear their stories, and then you can read their bios up on the website. And then when we start traveling to these cities in 2016, we are going to have all the media up there, videos and all the different things we're going to do so that you can keep abreast of it. Plus, if you're in the Mississippi area and you would like this team to come to your city, there is an application on the website for you to apply. So go on the website at revivalms.com and apply. And also, Casey has made it very clear, we are not limited to Mississippi. It's just that Mississippi is the actual focus. Okay, now listen, Mr. Tim, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and we're going to come back and allow you to preach the Word of God from the throne of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Bride, are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is soul. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Unite. I'm so excited to be with you again and to highlight Mr. Timothy Lovett from Alabama. Listen, Tim, we would love for you to bring the word to God, word of God to us tonight with power. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you have the floor, sir. Go ahead.
Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your most gracious mercy that you have bestowed upon us every day, that your mercies are made new every day for us. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for life today, God. Lord, I thank you for the life that you have given me this very day, Lord, that will cause me to go into another level of becoming more like you on a daily basis. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read something about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let me start in verse 1 first. I beseech you, therefore, I'm in the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let's go back to that word present for just a moment. That word present means you're given. You're giving yourself in a way of, I surrender my body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now let's go to verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me stop right there for a moment. I wrote this down. And I went into the Message Bible, and I would like for you to listen to this in the Message Bible, if I may. It says, in verse 2, it says, in Romans chapter 12 in the Message Bible, it says, don't become so adjusted to your culture that you fit into without even thinking. We don't want to be a culture of an unbelieving or a godless system. We listen to this. We are not to accept a pattern, culture, or worldly beliefs that are contrary to the Word of God. You heard me speak of this a while ago. As it says in 2 Corinthians, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, yes, Lord, go ahead.
As it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Listen, once again, that is just not for the people that are not believers, that are not Christians. This is talking about the people that is unbelief, whether you're a Christian or not. You hear what I'm saying? A Christian can be in unbelief. Does that make sense? Can you hear what I'm saying? So,
yes.
But listen to this. When you're in unbelief, we all go through trials, persecutions that makes us want to get in unbelief. I understand that. They are all unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Here it is again in Matthew 17:17. Jesus also says, "You unbelieving, perverse generation, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" Jesus is saying, my belief is to do away with my corrupt, twisted, perverted, rebellious, unfaithful, and crooked cultured generation, lost all. Jesus is saying, instead, fix your attention on God. Now, the word fix means to sit firmly, sat on, looking firmly upon, total focus. In Hebrews 12:2, in the NIV, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. There is no one or anything that is more important or beautiful than Jesus to fix your eyes upon. Let me say that again.
Yes, come on now.
Can I say that again? There is no one or anything in this world that is more important or beautiful than Jesus to fix your eyes upon.
Yes, amen.
Come on, people. That is the reality of Jesus. That is the reality. We have got to come down out of this world and get focused on the reality of Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on his ultimate and life-giving, giving his life. In other words, he surrendered his life for us at the cross of Calvary for our sins. Fix our eyes upon his resurrection. People, listen to me. If you believe in Jesus and you know that Jesus lives in you, you have a resurrection. The resurrection is a person because Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Amen?
Yes, Lord.
Fix our eyes upon Jesus to be saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus in our time of need. And I say this to myself. Fix your eyes on Jesus at all times. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Amen?
Yes.
This is reminding me to keep looking through the eyes of faith, believing in the hope to God and the things of heaven. For the things of this world will pass away, but the eternal things of God's will never pass away. In other words, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will always stay. His word is always. Stay focused on his word, on the center of God's will. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take away all of the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Here is God's cautiousness to us, is to keep our direction on the right path to follow his ways. Let me say something right there.
Yes.
When it says to follow his ways, it also says, here's another surrender scripture in Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but submit your ways to his ways. Amen?
Yes.
Yes, and not be sidetracked by our selfish or worldly ways or distraction, but to stay firm and focused on the path of Jesus. Amen? This is kind of short. this is kind of short because in John 14:6, let me say this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You've heard that message over and over and over. You've heard it all of our lives. I'm just, Miss June, I'm just basically going back to the basics. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've got to get back to the basics of the God's truth. In Hebrews 3:1, it says this, fix your thoughts upon Jesus. There it is again, what I was fixing to say in Proverbs. God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. I believe God's trying to get our attention. Let me say that again. God is trying to get our attention. Again, fix your thoughts on my thoughts. Make your ways my ways. Submit your ways to my ways. I believe, you know, by no way is God trying to condemn us in that scripture. I'm just trying to think he's trying to get our thinking, our minds, and our mindset on the thoughts of him. You hear what I'm saying? The soul is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. In those emotions are thoughts. In those emotions are your ways or your will, right? You hear what I'm saying? And God is trying to get us to surrender and fix our attention, you know, that our will becomes his will. Amen? That our mind becomes the mind of Christ. Our will becomes the will of God. Our thoughts become the thoughts of God. The desires of God. Amen?
Yes.
Back to Hebrews 3:1. Fix your thoughts. I mean, I can't even get past that right there, Miss Jean.
Go for it. Come on now.
Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. Our thoughts can be the hardest battleground to fight for. Excuse me. But if we can keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus or the light, he is the light of the world. Jesus says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Jesus will guard your heart and mind and keep you pure. When we fix our thoughts on him, we will not dwell on the negative things of this world, but rather the attributes of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now let's fix our hearts, our minds, our gaze, our thoughts, and our eyes constantly on God's words, his direction, things that are eternal in heaven. Jesus, let me say this, and on Jesus, and never take them off. Attention to turn to the mind, to apply oneself to. Let me say what attention, let me say this right here, what attention also means. Attention right here means this right here, is to be addicted to. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Attention means to be addicted to the thoughts. Means to be addicted to Jesus. See, my addiction was changed from bad to good. Now I'm addicted to Jesus. I'm not addicted to the alcohol no more. I'm not addicted to the drugs no more. I'm addicted to the name of Jesus. I'm addicted to Jesus. Amen? That's my word.
Woo, that's a powerful word, too, and it makes me think about Peter whenever Jesus was walking on the water, and he's like, Lord, please beg me to come out there with you, you know, and I know we hear this all the time in jest, you know, that when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. When he took his eyes off, he sunk. But listen, Bride, I want you to think about something. With the world that we live in today, we have to protect our eye gate and our ear gate and our mouth gate. And
yes,
what
ma'am.
That means is we have to protect what is coming in, because it will take us away from the purpose and the calling and the destiny that God has called us to do. In other words, if we fill our spirit men, if we fill our insides, our temple with the vomit that the world tries to spew out, through the media and through television and all this other stuff that they try to distract you with, it's going to hurt your walk with God. And what he's saying is we have got to keep our focus on him, keep our eyes fixed upon him, trust in him no matter what we see on the earth or what is going on in the storms around us. we keep our eyes fixed upon heaven, keep our eyes fixed upon God. Amen. That's a powerful Amen. Word, brother.
Well, I got one more, if that's okay.
Yeah,
I'll close with this, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
And everybody pretty much knows the scripture. If you don't, I suggest that you open up the fellowship for your life, which is the Bible. I've never said it in that way, but when Jesus
yeah.
knocks at the door, he's knocking on your Bible saying, you should be hearing a knock from your Bible right now. You should be hearing a word. When you open up your Bible, there's a fellowship right there. Amen?
Yeah.
Personally with Jesus. But in Matthew 6:33, back to the attention, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given or added to you." And I began to write again, make our focus first to him. Make our attention first to him. And then I started writing, this right here. I make my life first to him. Amen?
Right.
I make my life first to him. In the Message Bible, Matthew 6:34 says this. Jesus says, give your entire attention to what God is doing now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Let me tell you something. Back to Matthew 6:33, you can go back and recount the story of David in the book of Psalms, all the way back over into 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and so forth. But let me tell you something. David sought first the kingdom of God. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
David was already doing this before it was recorded in the Bible. He was always first seeking the kingdom of God. Now, everybody has their story about David, and I understand that. All those stories are, for us to gain in understanding and knowledge and wisdom. If we live by the pattern of David, and many people are not going to. I live by the pattern of Jesus. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
But I find it very, very interesting that Jesus is all that David was already seeking first his kingdom of God before we ever read it. Amen?
Amen.
Before Matthew and the rest already recorded it. Now, one more scripture. I said I was done a while ago, and I apologize. But
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I want to read this specifically, personally, for someone. Again, like this for my own self. But if I may read about five verses here, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, go for
it. In First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. I want somebody to hear this. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Verse 16. This is what I want you to hear.
Yeah.
However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus has got you in this place to be a pattern for those to come into the belief, believing on him for everlasting life. God has positioned you. That's the reason he says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I am making you into the image of Christ.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Transforming you from glory to glory. I'm making you as a pattern of Jesus Christ for the unbelief in this world. I don't know if I could say that again. I'm glad you're recording it.
Yes.
But that is my message. That
yes.
You are. In Galatians 1, Jesus says, in Galatians 1, Paul is talking to the Galatian people, and he's saying this very quickly. He's saying this, I knew you before you were born. I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. On down in the scripture there in Galatians chapter 1 in the Amplified Bible, it says this. God sees that you're fit, and he's well pleased with you to reveal his son Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, thank you so much for sharing that word and for encouraging the bride tonight. Listen, we ask every time we have a speaker for the bride to come together so that we can pray for them, because we believe that God brought them on the broadcast for such a time as this, that promotion is coming. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, Bride, if y'all don't mind bowing your head, and let's come together in agreement for Tim. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from him today, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done in his life, to take him all the way from where he's been, Lord, all the trials and tribulations he's been in, to where you have brought him now, where he's traveling all over the United States. He is encouraging people, Lord, and he's lifting people up and bringing them out, Lord, where he was at. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are bringing him out, Lord, and even more is to come, Lord. Eyes have not seen what you're about to do in this man. And we give you praise for it, Lord, for expanding his borders, Lord, and for increasing his life, Lord, in every area. We speak increase, Lord, in his finances, Lord. Increase in the prosperity, Lord. Increase in every area. And we thank you, Lord, and we thank you for the downloads from heaven, Lord, coming. All of the tools and strategies that he's going to need, Lord, to accomplish the mission that you have called him to. We thank you and give you praise, God. We thank you for him being on the broadcast and for everything that you're going to do in his life. And the bride comes together in agreement for it right now, Lord, and we thank you that there's no distance in the spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing him here for such a time as this, in Jesus' name. Now, brother, we would love it if you would please pray for the bride.
Amen. I would love to. I want to say this. You know, I want to give an opportunity. If you don't know Christ, I'm asking you, are you ready today? You know, are you ready to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Confessing in your heart. Confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Confessing that Jesus rose from the dead. Or first, that Jesus died for your sins and that he rose from the dead. I encourage you. You know, if you're in any kind of unbelief, walking in a worldly way, I encourage you. Jesus is waiting on you. Are you ready? Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you for the people of this nation. I thank you for the people of this world, Lord, that you've created all, Lord, that you have created all. And Father, I ask you for the mercy of this nation and the people in it, Lord, and the church, Lord, that your grace may be abundant. That is your word, that is your promise, Lord. For each and every soul that you have created, God, that you've allowed to walk on the face of this earth, Lord, that I ask you, Lord, that you take your hand and turn their hearts back to you. Turn our nation
back
to you. Yes,
Lord, yes.
turn the church back to you, Lord. Teach us, yes, oh God, how to bring the government of God back in the church and honor and reverence to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you. And if anybody has received salvation today, get to your local church. Talk to a good pastor. And I'm saying this right now. If you did receive that little prayer there a while ago, I'm asking you now, just to. You're the greatest miracle on earth. You're the greatest miracle in heaven if you have received Christ today. And I thank you. Again, I just want to stress the words, are you ready? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and what a fitting way to end the broadcast for the call for salvation. Amen. Now listen, Bride, we want to encourage you again to go to the website at revivalms.com. Also, go to our website at watbradio.com, and you can see all the rest of the guests that we have coming on the broadcast. Now, the event is going to be November 6th and 7th in Picayune, Mississippi. Yes, I said Picayune. Picayune, Mississippi. Okay, Bride, y'all have a wonderful evening. And, Tim, you have a wonderful evening. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Thank you so much. Be a blessing.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.